Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom or great peace have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. We're going to continue talking through our series of walking with Yeshua. And this week, we're going to talk about how when we walk with Yeshua, it is going to put us at war with the world. It is going to put us as viewing things opposite, differently than how the world views it. And because of that, there will be times and there will be moments where the world will hate us for the way that we view things, for the way that we feel about things, and the way we believe about them. And because of our convictions and the way we walk and that which we do. And so I want to talk about what Yeshua says about that when it comes to the world hating us. Because when you walk with Yeshua, you are going to be at war with the God of this world, which means that the ideology, the way that this world thinks, the way that they behave and what they do and what they see as acceptable will put you at war against them. So let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. Blessed are you when men hate you and exclude you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for your fathers were doing the same things to the prophets. So let's break this down here for a moment. First thing that Yeshua is saying that men are going to do, when you walk with Yeshua, when you're truly walking with him, when you become one with him and you embrace his righteousness and you're walking in his righteousness and you love his righteousness, it is going to put you at war with the way that this world thinks. You're going to think opposite as them. You're going to think differently than them. I mean, just look at what is going on in the culture around us now. Those who are following God's word, who is following his righteousness, his laws that he has laid out, we walk and think differently than what culture is calling acceptable now. We do not call those things acceptable, but they do. And because we do not accept them and we call them as sin, because of that, men hate you. The world will hate you. That will happen. And because they hate you, they will exclude you. We see examples of that in our culture today, where they are going against Christian businesses because they choose not to cave on their convictions to accept certain behaviors that are out there. And because of that, they want to boycott these businesses. That is an example of the world hating a follower of Yeshua and excluding a follower of Yeshua because they stand for what is righteous. He says, they will exalt you. They will scorn you. They will make your name as evil. They will make you to be the evil one, you to be the enemy. They will make it as if you are the one who is filled with hate. And we see that in the culture today and in the world around us today. They are labeling those who are standing for righteousness as those who are filled with hate. And this is happening because we're doing it for the sake of the Son of Man or for Yeshua, because we love him. And because we love him, we embrace his righteousness and we love his commands and we love his word and we have a desire to walk in his commands. Remember, Yeshua said, if you love me, you will obey me. So these are the things that are going to happen. And Yeshua's response is, when this happens, blessed are those who experience this. What does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed means to be happy. So when the world hates you, when the world insults you, when they make you out to be the evil one, when they exclude you, you're blessed. You should be happy. Prosperous are those who experience the hate from this world. Now, we may not feel like we're feeling that blessing at that moment in time. Part of that blessing is going to be the end reward in which we receive in heaven, as we see in verse 23. He says, "For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For those who have been persecuted for his righteousness' sake, for those who stood against the little god of this world and stood against the evilness of this world and stood up for Yeshua's righteousness in this world, your reward in heaven is great." So there is a blessing, and you will feel that blessing then. But we can also feel and experience that blessing even now in the present trial and journey that we're going through. And Yeshua even likens it into how their fathers were. As you read through the prophets, you'll see that as Isaiah and Jeremiah came and spoke the words of God, the purpose of both Jeremiah and Isaiah were to call the nation unto repentance, because the nation was not walking in Yahweh's righteousness. They had forsaken his Torah. They were doing that which was wicked. So the prophets come along as a messenger of Yahweh, calling for repentance. And that is the same message that has been bestowed upon us as followers of Yeshua. We, as followers of Yeshua, we who are walking with him have been called to be disciples of him and to go out and make disciples. So we're to go out. We are to be that sounding voice, sounding the alarm, calling for repentance in this evil generation, calling for people to turn from their wickedness, to turn from their disobedience, and to believe in Yeshua and to embrace his righteousness and to walk in his ways, to become a disciple of Yeshua, to walk with him instead of walking in conformity to this world. When we walk with Yeshua, we are no longer conformed to this world, but we're transformed into the image of Yeshua. We walk as he walked, which means that now we're walking contrary to how the world is walking. So we have been called to bring that message of repentance. And the fathers, those in the nation of Israel at that moment in time, hated the prophets for their message. They did not want to repent of their evil ways and of their disobedience. They wanted to continue to walk and do as they were doing because it satisfied their flesh. It brought pleasure unto them in that moment in time. Sin brings pleasure for a season. But when we walk in his righteousness, we experience his joy. And his joy is much more satisfying than the pleasures of sin. But this world is caught up in the short-term, quick pleasure that they get from sin. So when they hear the message of repentance, and when they hear that what they're doing is not right, some will feel conviction and will repent of their evil ways. Others will have a hatred for that message and have a hatred for you. We see in the book of Acts that as the disciples were going out and they were preaching the message of Yeshua, we see two responses to it. We see myriads of people becoming believers of Yeshua and disciples of Yeshua and walking with Yeshua, but we also see people becoming angry and wanting to stone and hurt the disciples because of the message that they were preaching. So the same is going to be today as we go out and declare his message. There's going to be those who repent of their sin, and there's going to be those who hate us because of the message that we are bringing. And as Yeshua is saying, our response to that should be something that is not natural for us to respond in that situation. We should be glad in that day, he says. We should leap for joy in that day, and we should count ourselves as blessed. Not our natural reaction to experience and to want to have and to feel when people hate us and insult us and make us out to be as evil. Let's look at John chapter 15 and verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Even Yeshua, when he walked on this earth, with all the great miracles and works that he did, had those who hated him. He had those who wanted to kill him. And ultimately, they put him to death. Now, he surrendered his life and willingly gave of his life because that was the ultimate purpose to why he came. His purpose to come, number one, was to live that sinless, spotless life, to model unto us what it means to walk with Yahweh, what it means to walk in righteousness and how we should walk. He set the example for us. And he came as that sinless, spotless lamb who never disobeyed the Torah and willingly gave up his life to those who hated him to die upon that cross so that we could be cleansed of all of our unrighteousness, so that we could have everlasting life, so that we could walk with him and become his disciples. So he says, the world has hated me. So the world will hate you. So know that when the world hates you, it's because they hated me. It's because you are doing what I did. If the world doesn't hate you, if the world doesn't hate what you stand for, the question you have to ask yourself is, are you really walking with Yeshua? Because if you're walking with Yeshua, if you're walking as Yeshua walked, if you're being transformed into his image, thinking as he thought, loving what he loved and hated what he hated, yes, Yeshua had things he hated. He hated sin. He hated unrighteousness. He did not hate the sinner. And we're not called to hate the sinner. We're called to hate the sin. He came to call the sinner unto repentance. And that's what we are to do, to call the sinner unto repentance. But we are to hate sin. And he hated sin. And he called out sin. And he called for those that were in sin to repent of their sin and to turn from their sin and to sin no more. Remember, that's what he told the woman who was caught in adultery. He says, go and sin no more. He doesn't say, you are forgiven, now continue in your lifestyle. No, you're forgiven, now go and sin no more. That's his message, and that is our message. So the world hated him before it ever hated us. So we serve a high priest. We have a Messiah who we can talk to, who is able to minister unto us and send his angels to minister unto us, send his Spirit to comfort us, to minister us, and to tend to us, because he knows what it's like to be hated by the world. He knows what you're going through. He knows what it's like to walk through an evil and perverse generation and to stand for that which is righteous. Now let's look at verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. So as followers of Yeshua, as those who are walking with Yeshua, who have professed him as their Messiah, who has allowed him to circumcise their hearts, and they have become a disciple of Yeshua, learning his ways, being taught of his ways, and walking in his ways. He has chosen you out of the world. He has called you out of the world, which means he has called you out of walking in the ways of the world. He has called you out of conformity unto the world, into thinking like the world, accepting what the world thinks and what they accept, and embracing what they love. But instead, now you're being transformed into the image of Yeshua. You're thinking as Yeshua thinks. You're loving what he loves. He says, I have called you out of the world. He has taken us out of this world and brought us unto himself. So we're no longer of this world. So the world is going to hate you because of that. If you had not been called out, you would be in the world and the world would love you because you would be of the world. So the question is, are you loved of the world or hated by the world? Because if you're loved of the world, you got to ask yourself, have you come out of the world? Or are you still in the world? Let's look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So what Yeshua is saying is we are his servant. We have been called to serve him. He is our master. So in our relationship and coming unto him and believing that he is our Messiah, we surrender our lives unto him and he becomes our master. So there is a part of our relationship with him. While, yes, we are his friend, he is also our master and we're also his servant. So the concept of us being called his friend is he doesn't keep secrets from us. We are aware and we know what he is doing. And he tells us what is going on. But we're still his servant. We still serve him. So it means we still live a life that is obedient unto him as our master. He is still greater than we are. So if he, being our master, faced persecution, then we will see persecution. But on the other hand, he says, if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So if there are those who heard my words and did them, they will be those who hear your words and will repent. They also kept record of what he said and tried to use it against him. They tried to twist his words against him. They will try to twist our words as well. Now let's look at John chapter 17 and verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is Yeshua's prayer that he is praying over his disciples, when he is with his disciples, unto his Father. And this prayer even applies unto us. So Yeshua, knowing that we're going to face persecution, knowing that the world is going to hate us, prayed on our behalf unto his Father. And he is ever living, making intercession for us right now at the right hand of the Father, for us who are walking with him. So even though we face persecution, and even though the world hates us because we're not of the world, we can take joy in the fact, and we can count ourselves blessed because our Master, our Redeemer, our Messiah, our Savior is making intercession for us unto the Heavenly Father. And that is something to take hold of. That is something to grab onto and to take solace in. Now let's look at verse 15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. So Yeshua's solution to the world hating us is not to take us out of the world. That it's not his desire. Because if we're taken out of the world, then who's going to be his mouthpiece calling out into this evil generation for them to repent? His desire is for us to be in the world, here, on the world, in the midst of this evil generation, calling out for repentance. So he's not taking us out of this world. He's not rescuing us from the world. He's leaving us here. But he does provide shelter. What does he say? But keep them from the evil one. So those who are walking with Yeshua, who are faithful with him, who abide with him, and are willing to stand out there and to be his mouthpiece and preach the message of repentance, they will abide under the wings of the Almighty. He will provide shelter, and he will keep the evil one from you. Now, there will be those who are martyred, and we can count that as joy. And we see that in the example of Stephen in the book of Acts. He laid down his life. He was stoned for the message of Yeshua. But he died with a smile on his face, counting it joy, and his eyes were open to see Yeshua. And when he saw Yeshua, Yeshua was not sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he saw Yeshua standing. As Stephen lost his life, Yeshua was standing instead of sitting. So count that as joy. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. In his prayer, as he's saying, he says, they're not of the world, as I am not of the world. So what is his prayer for his followers? What is his prayer for those who are walking with him? That his Heavenly Father would sanctify them by his truth. So his prayer is that we as believers would be sanctified by the truth of Yahweh. And then Yeshua lays it out. He says, your word, Yahweh, is truth. The word of God, the Bible, including his Torah and what was written in the prophets, is truth. His Torah, his law that he laid out is truth. And it is that which sanctifies us. So he has called us to be set apart from the world, to sanctify, to be sanctified means basically two things. Number one, it means to be cleansed, and it also means to be separate. So he sanctified us, so he cleansed us when he died upon that cross. But there's also a separation. So when he died upon that cross, he cleansed us of all of our uncleanness, but then he calls us to separate ourselves from the world and to cleanse our ways from that of the world. So our ways and our behavior and what we do are to be separate from the world. It's to be cleansed, to be clean. Our ways are to be clean. How are our ways separate from the world? How are our ways made clean? By his word, by following that which is truth. So we're obedient to his word. We're obedient to that which is truth, to his law, to that which is written in the prophets, to that which Yeshua spoke unto us, and that which Paul spoke unto us, and the apostles spoke unto us. It sets us apart. It makes us different from the world. When we're obedient to his law, we're no longer conformed unto this world, but we're transformed into the image of Yeshua. We're set apart. We're different. Our behavior is different. And now our ways become clean. Now our ways, our obedience, our acts, our works are as a white garment. They're pure. They're clean. Yeshua says in verse 19, for their sake, speaking as unto us, I have sanctified myself. So Yeshua set himself apart from the world. Yeshua was cleansed. He was perfectly clean from the world. He was perfectly set apart from the world, separate from the world. For our sake, he separated himself from the world. He did not act as that evil generation did, but he walked in obedience to God's word. That is what Yeshua did to sanctify himself, was he was obedient unto God's law instead of conforming to the perverse generation that was around him. And so he did that for ourselves, that we also may be separated in his truth. And that is his desire for us, is to be separated from this world. So if we do what he wants us to do, be holy as he is holy, be separated as I am separated, the world will hate us. But count it as joy. Count it as a blessing. Let's look at an example of this. And the early disciples in Acts chapter 4 and verse 17. But lest it spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hear you rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. This is following the time that Peter had healed the crippled man at the gate. And it caused such a stir amongst the people in Jerusalem that the religious leaders became fearful of what was going on, and they bring Peter and John before themselves, and they command them not to speak of Yeshua anymore. because they hate what they are doing. So they command him not to speak in the name of Yeshua anymore. And Peter and John's answer is it right for us to listen to you or to listen to God? For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot stop speaking about what we witnessed when we walked with Yeshua on this earth. We cannot stop from speaking what we have seen Yeshua do on this earth, even after he ascended unto his Father. We cannot stop. That is the attitude we need to have when we face those who are hating us. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And let's go down to verse 29. And this is a prayer that the early disciples prayed upon being threatened by the religious leaders at that time. Listen to their prayer. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders happen through the name of your holy servant, Yeshua. Yeshua was a servant of the Father. He was obedient unto his Father. And now we are servants of Yeshua. The mighty works that Yeshua did was because he walked in submission to the authority of his Father. And when we learn submission unto Yeshua, and we can walk in submission unto Yeshua as Yeshua was submitted unto his Father, we will see the same signs and wonders happen. Verse 31, and when they had prayed earnestly, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word with confidence. So upon being threatened and told to stop, they go and they pray for boldness. And how does a Father answer them? He sends his Holy Spirit unto them. This is the second time we read of them being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it teaches us this. We need to be continually being filled with this Holy Spirit. If we're going to face the hatred that the world is going to bring our way, we have to be filled with this Holy Spirit. That was the answer to the disciples' prayer. That is how the Father answered their prayer. And having boldness to stand up to the hatred that was coming their way from the perverse generation around them was for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And upon them being filled with the Holy Spirit, what did they begin to do? Speak the word of God with confidence. If you want confidence to speak his word, be filled with this Holy Spirit. Just ask him. He'll give it to you. Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. So they followed his advice, and after calling the apostles in and beating them, they commanded them not to speak in the name of Yeshua, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name. So they were beaten by that perverse generation for speaking the message of Yeshua. And upon them refusing to stop on the first warning, they are now brought in and they are beaten because they did not bow their knee to man, but instead chose to be obedient to God. They did not care that the world hated them. They were going to continue doing the mission they were called to do, and they received a beating for it. And the way they responded was they rejoiced because they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name. They had considered it something that was of great joy, that they were worthy. Think about it. They were beaten. So they were worthy to receive a beating. What are they saying? That they were worthy to be treated as Yeshua was treated. They took it as that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing well. And not that they were doing it wrong. Not that they weren't doing it the right way. But they were doing it well. And they rejoiced in the fact that they were considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and proclaiming the good news that Yeshua is the Messiah. So they did not let it stop them. They kept going. They did not cease teaching and proclaiming the good news of Yeshua. And it wasn't long after this that Stephen was stoned for sharing the message of Yeshua. May we, as followers of Yeshua, be bold enough to walk with Yeshua and to be set apart from this world and to allow the world to hate us because we walk just as Yeshua walked. May we be bold enough to proclaim and teach the good news of Yeshua, even though the world hates us and tells us to stop. May we not be afraid to face the hatred of this perverse generation. And when we face it, may we experience the blessings that come from being persecuted as Yeshua was persecuted. And may we count it as joy to be treated as Yeshua was treated for walking in submission to the Heavenly Father. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.